Freeze actually listen to the podcast?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we are back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, Kyle Rush, whatever the heck you want to call me. We're mad. We're getting ready to talk. We're ready to talk about the offense, talk about Hugh Freeze's presser day yesterday. Two media appearances that were very, very scrutinized, quoted, and things like that, but we're going to break it down. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for your double up deposit bonus, your first deposit. Whatever you put in there, they're going to double it back up. So you put in $250, they're going to give you $250 back on top of it to play with. And you can fire down on pretty much whatever you want to. Parlays, live betting, a little bit of everything. My bookie is the place to be. And don't forget to use that coupon code next round. Get your account ready for college football, NFL, all that good stuff. Mybookie.ag. Mondays are a big media day for Hugh Freeze. He has his Monday weekly press conference. I think it's usually somewhere around lunchtime or maybe a little bit before. I think this week it got moved back to 1 p.m. And it was a little bit longer than usual. I think before Saturday night you had possibly the shortest press conference ever, understandably so. You're very frustrated. So you understand you're going to have some questions and you want to give the media the time to be able to ask those, and you've actually had time to go back and look and see what the heck went wrong on Saturday. And, you know, so he had his Monday press conference, and he also had Tiger Talk, and there was a lot of things said. One of the things that jumped out to me, because it's something we talked about on Monday, was Hugh admitting, hey, I think we went into Cal with too big of a playbook, too big of a package, which that's a funny statement in and of itself, too big of a package. He said that won't happen again. That won't happen again. We're definitely going to look at condensing things. And instead of getting caught up in what all the defense has to show you and then having some type of response, you really get out of the rhythm of the things you do well. You don't have to have this massive operation of, you know, 10, 15 different checks or all these different packages based off of what the defense showed you. Feels like we totally lost sight of what we do well, and that's not going to happen anymore. And that's kind of what we talked about yesterday. The pressure that maybe Hugh feels needing to be able to throw the football. Coaching in the days of NIL is just different. You have a little bit of different mindset. You have to be leery of things. You have to be aware of guys that are possibly unhappy. There's so many other factors versus just game planning and going and pulling the trigger. And I think that may have, you know, bit us a little bit on Saturday. For whatever reason, when things get tough, Peyton struggles with processing information. That's kind of who he is. He sort of shuts down. He has bailout ideas in his mind. It's either run or I'm going to have a receiver that I'm kind of locked in on that I'm going to go to, and I'm not able to go through my progressions because I'm rustled. I'm in a bind. I can't mentally process it when I got somebody in my face. And you know, some quarterbacks can, some quarterbacks can't, but when I think the little bit of a fool's gold from the week one and being able to have that success and doing it in practice, which you said, hey, he does it in practice every single day. This isn't hard stuff. He executes his stuff in practice every single day. But maybe, just maybe, I thought it was too much. It was too much for what Peyton's abilities are. It seems like you mentioned that as well. And he put the blame on us. He said, hey, we just put too much. We went in with too big of a package. We didn't have to do that. But we did it, and it's something that we wish we could take, obviously take back. So what does the condensed playbook mean? I mean, number one, if you're going to continue to roll with Peyton, you take a lot of the decision-making that can go wrong whenever things go wrong. If we were to have an issue with the offensive line, you're going to have a little bit of a mix-up anyway. If you were to have some issues on the offensive line Saturday, well, it takes a lot of that decision-making away so that he can just sort of react and play. Maybe that helps him along there. And then another thing it does is if you're wanting a quarterback change, if you're wanting to be able to, and I'm talking about from Hugh Freeze standpoint, if you're wanting to be able to pave a way or create a situation to where you could have a quarterback change, if the only deciding factor of what because physically I don't think they're very much different. Now Peyton's a lot more athletic, a lot more athletic runner, but it's from a passing standpoint, there's not much difference in the two. As a matter of fact, I may give the nod to Hank a little bit more as just a pure passer. But if the only difference really is grasping of the playbook, understanding the checks, understanding the protections on the offensive line, if that's the only thing that is separating them really, and I kind of feel like that's really it, that's the only thing that's really separating them, then you kind of go ahead and bring it down so that if there is one slip up, Hank's ready to go. And then to the extreme, it could be that if you execute those play, that smaller condensed package during practice and Hank is doing better, now the level field's the playing field's level and Hank is outperforming Peyton in practice. Well, now what do you do? Now you got all the evidence you need to go ahead and make the decision. So the condensed playbook got a lot of criticism, but in my mind, it's the right thing to do. When you take condensed, the word that's being swapped into is dumbed down. Okay, and I get how to draw that parallel, but condensed doesn't have to mean we're going back to elementary school. We're going back to backyard football. Like that doesn't have to mean that. It just means maybe the formation wise, there's not going to be as many formations. Maybe there's not going to be as many different options within a play that can change. Maybe there's not going to be, again, personnel. There's a lot of things that means that doesn't have to mean that it's just going to be some elementary school 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. It may be a little bit more dink and dunk. It may be a little bit more, a little bit more run heavy. And that's fine because that seems to be what the strength of this team is anyway, based off last year, and then obviously based off the year Jarquez is having with little touches, he's averaging over 6 yards a carry, I believe. So condensed playbook, I made a joke. I think Hugh listens to the podcast because that's literally what we talked about all yesterday on the episode all yesterday, and then Hugh comes out and basically says, I feel like I had too much. We had too much going on, and we probably should have shrunk it a little bit and just done what we're good at. And I think you're going to see a lot of that moving forward. And I think this good. I think it's good for Peyton, and I think it's really good for Hank. I think it's really good for Hank because now you have sort of a level playing field during the week. Before we talk about the QB switch, or will there be a QB switch? There was not really it was not committal one way or the other that there would not be. We got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management, retirementresults.com/plan. Make sure, double check, triple check that make sure you have everything doing the way, everything retirement wise going the way it needs to be going. Make sure that you're not paying fees that you don't need to be paying or you can avoid. Make sure that you're doing the things to delete the IRS from your accounts. Make sure that you're doing the things to maximize your Social Security benefits. Ford is literally a specialist in that. And you can do that all for free at retirementresults.com/plan. Typically, just a portfolio analysis like that can cost you upwards of $1,500. Make a friend, tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you, Ford Stokes with Retirement Results. Will there be a quarterback switch? Hugh was asked point blank in the Monday early press conference in the second question. Have you discussed, have you thought about switching quarterbacks and just point blank ask him. And I'll give you, I'll be completely honest. He didn't really totally answer the question. Yes or no. As a matter of fact, he talked a lot about how this week of practice means a lot towards that. And he also said, we have to start seeing practice translate over to the game. So he's acknowledging that we have some, you know, he's acknowledging that Peyton does a lot of the right things in practice. But when you get to the game, we're sort of having this same story, just different page. Like it's the same story, just a different scenario. It's when things go bad, Peyton goes bad. When things go bad, Peyton locks up and he's unable to process information and make the correct decisions. It's literally that simple. And, you know, he said, it's hard for me not to play a guy. It's hard for me not to play a guy that does almost everything perfect in practice. But my man, at some point in time, when the lights come on, you got to see the production on the field. And that to me is the most open it's ever felt as far as the quarterback situation goes, as far as could there be a possible switch. He was very noncommittal, and that was a little bit more tame. And you got to think about the timing of these. Okay. So you have Monday is a correction day in practice. Okay. You have a lot of meetings and then you go out on the field and it may not be necessarily a really physical practice, but you walk through a lot of the things that you need correcting from the game film that you go over. And then, you know, that's how that Monday practice goes. That's how that Monday goes. You got a lot of meetings, a lot of film, and then you have a correction practice. Well, that press conference comes a lot of times right before that. Okay. So you sometimes you may not have had opportunities to really have those meetings one-on-one and understand why things went the way they went. So the press conference was actually very tame. I felt like he defended Peyton a lot. I felt like he defended him, but he was also very critical at the same time. I think it was balanced on both sides. And we're going to talk about the no-win situation of that a little bit later. But then at Tiger Talk, after you've had practice, after you've been able to talk one-on-one, after you've had meetings, it was a lot more – he was a lot more critical of Peyton, a lot more critical, it seemed like, of the offense in general, wide receivers running incorrect routes and things of that nature. And it makes complete sense if you understand that that first press conference, he hasn't had the opportunity to have those meetings or talk with the players, then have that correction practice, and then he goes to Tiger Talk fresh off of that. It's understandable to see how the mood or the messaging changed a good bit. But yeah, could there be a QB switch? If I had to guess right now, I'd say probably not, but it very well could happen in that game if Peyton were to continue to struggle when things get kind of tough. If there's a third and long and we're just throwing it up, or we're taking sacks because we're holding the ball too long, or we're making incorrect decisions, or we're missing wide open receivers, I could see that there be a change very quickly. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if Hank started Saturday. It really wouldn't at this point in time, based off of the discussion, based off of the messaging. It was really, really eye-opening as far as where Hugh Freeze stands right now, as far as how this quarterback situation is going to go. It feels like, and I kind of felt it from his press conference. I talked about this with Mike G. You could almost feel the frustration. You could almost feel the disbelief. It's like, man, we go over everything. He says all the right things. He does all the right things in practice. They do all the right things in practice. We execute this thing flawlessly in practice. And then when we get to the game, we just can't carry it over. What is the deal? You could almost feel that emotion in his first press conference. And then he was honestly a little bit chippy and a little bit mad, it seemed like, at Tiger Talk at times. But yeah, it's as far as the quarterback situation goes, I mean, I've never seen it under Hugh. It's been a while, really, since I've seen it to where there is an idea that there could be just a 100% switch on the horizon. I don't know the best timing for that. I would think this wouldn't be a bad idea. This wouldn't be a bad time to make a switch if you're going to make a switch to start off the game. But I also can understand, hey, let's see if we condense this playbook, take away a lot of the thinking, or not the thinking, but take away a lot of the different ways that you have to think, or just the different personnel, different things of that nature, make it a little bit more play to our strengths. Does that make Peyton succeed? Because I think if you can get the practice Peyton, if you can get the practice Peyton on the field, you got something there. You got something there. It's just the problem is that's been tough, and it's pretty rare in general to see that happen. It's hard to see that happen sometimes, him take it from the practice field. I guess there's been times where he's played pretty well. You know, there's been some games where big games where he's played well, but there's been a lot of games where he's played poorly, and it's been to the detriment of the team. It's been basically the sole reason that you've struggled on offense. So I'm anxious to see what happens. I know today, Tuesdays are physical practices. Wednesdays are physical practices. So those 2 days are going to, I feel like, tell the story of what happens on Saturday. And by the end of the practice on Wednesday, you'll probably have a good idea of what may happen on Saturday. So let's see what happens. And then last thing, I understand everybody's mad, okay? I understand everybody's mad, but we as a fan base lose all ability to be rational whatsoever. We lose the ability to look at everything in context. This is no joke. Within minutes of the press conference, I had two mentions and people tagging me in tweets, okay? There was two mentions. Number one, the first mention was something along the lines of, I wish you would stop defending Peyton Thorne. Okay, that was what I wish he would stop defending Peyton Thorne, which I listened to, and it felt like he was very, very critical. I mean, I think he said one of the most disappointing things in that opening press conference was that the execution of the offense from the quarterback position. That was the most disappointing thing of the day on Saturday. But one thing he did do when he talked about the interceptions, he was like, you know, if you really break down those interceptions, you had one that was a wrong route, completely wrong route. I think it was Keandre Lambert-Smith ran the wrong route. Peyton threw to the route that it was supposed to be, and it was a pick. There was one that was very catchable, maybe would have been a big play off Cam's hands, that was a pick. There was one where he held the ball a little bit too long, but he was hit. I still put that blame on Peyton. And then there was one that was just a completely poor decision that ended up in an interception, the one he threw to Cam Coleman when he had Robert Lewis doing jumping jacks and cartwheels down the middle of the field wide open and back handsprings that would have scored. He would have ran all the way to Lochipoca if he would have seen him and thrown it to him. So that was the thing, though. He's defending Peyton Thorne. He's got to stop defending Peyton Thorne. Okay, that was one. And then literally in maybe 15 minutes away, there was a tweet mentioned that said something like, Hugh never takes the blame. It's always everybody else's fault or whatever, you know, or he's being too hard on Peyton or something like that. And it's like, how is it so hard? Like, we watch the same press conference. We watch the same things, and we come away with two totally different things. Okay. It's amazing. And I get it. Like, we're watching sound bites and we're watching tweet highlights, and we form our whole opinion based off of those little sound bites and things like that you see on Twitter, social media, YouTube, whatever it is, versus listening to the whole press conference, listening to all the questions asked, how they're answered. And then, you know, putting that together with what you saw at Tiger Talk, it was really a no-win situation. Here's some things that he did say. Okay, let's talk about the things that he did say. For the people that said that there was a, I feel like an insinuation last night that Hugh Freeze said basically none of this was his fault, and they executed from a coaching standpoint. They called the perfect game, and the players just didn't execute. I felt like that narrative was trying to be pushed a little bit last night. These are a couple of things that he said last night, okay? He said that not all day yesterday. These are two things that he said, okay? We're disappointed with how he played, and it's something we have to get fixed, and it starts with the coaches. It starts with me. Verbatim, that's the quote. We have to get it fixed. It starts with the coaches, and it starts with me, okay? That was the exact words that came out of his mouth yesterday, okay? Also, our coaching staff feels like we attempted to carry too much into the Cal game. Two quotes of him taking responsibility for what we saw on Saturday. And there's much more that you could go to, but the narrative seemed like it's all Peyton's fault. We called the perfect offense. He just didn't execute it. And that's clearly not the case. Yes. Do we feel confident about our game plan? Did we see it be executed correctly in practice? Did we think we called good plays to get guys open? Were guys open? The answer to all those is yes. But when it comes down to it, you can't call, even if you can call plays open, if you can't have the guy ready for whatever reason to be able to find those guys, then it's on coaching. And that's what he literally said. Try to watch everything. Stop trying to make your opinion based off of little highlights and little clips that you see on social media. Like, listen to the full context and understand what he's saying. It makes perfect sense, okay? We felt good about our game plan. It was executed during the week. We went into the game feeling like we were, you know, we felt great going into the game. We were calling guys open. The first couple of drives, it was working great. And then once things went south, even if we called the right play, we couldn't do it. On 4th and 2, we called that was the perfect play on 4th and 2. If you're going to go for it on 4th and 2, you had 3 options. 2 of them were open, and 2 of them were the easy pass. Were exponentially easier passes, but we got greedy. We tried to take a shot. Like, those type things are that's a legitimate conversation to have. Okay, now you can say I got to coach him better because I got to coach him to where he understands not to take that shot, or I got to coach him to figure out how to find the open receiver. But he said it on both sides. He said this is why things went the way they went, which I love. He basically broke it down. This is why it went the way it went. I got to do a better job. What else do you want from the guy? What else do you want from the guy from a press conference standpoint? I know the smart aleck answer is going to be, I want him to win, and I get it. I do too. Nobody wants him to win more than me, and nobody wants to win more than Hugh. But we get in these fights. We get in these issues where it's just like we pick apart things and try to create a narrative. I mean, literally within 10 minutes of each other, had two people say he's being too hard on Peyton and he's defending Peyton too much. Like, that's the reality that we're in right now. So I'm anxious to see what happens on Saturday. I'm anxious to see if you actually do make a switch. I'm anxious to see the game plan. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Jarquez Hunter, a heavy dose of your backs, which I think is good. And hopefully you're able to get into a rhythm where you can get some of those drive starting plays, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, or like quick outs, quick things like that, to get those wide receivers the ball in their hands to be able to make plays. And he all but said that that's going to be the focus moving forward. So, again, I think Hugh listens to the pod, and if he does, I want you to know that, Hugh, I still love you. You're still my dream coach at Auburn, and I think you're a great fit, and the recruiting is fantastic. And I hope that we can get this quarterback situation and this offense deal married together, because I think you got some talent. I think you got some talent on this team to get to an 8 or maybe even make a run for 9 wins. And I know it would be really tough to get there now with this loss, but I still think the talent is there to make it happen, and the schedule is very, very gettable. So let's see what happens. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You need to check out thebarnauburn.com. We've been talking about this for 3 days now. So a lot of this stuff we've already been talking about. Had a great discussion, great information. And again, you can try it out for $1. And if you hate it, drop it. And if you love it, let's roll. So check us out, thebarnauburn.com. Follow me on Twitter, the_Charlie_5. Get in the comments. Let me know what you think. And we'll get back after it again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.